Good morning.
Good morning.
I always feel a bit humbled to come up here after we've sung that last song. It's such a holy song. It's such a worship song. And to break the silence seems almost wrong. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Father God, we do pause just now, and we do adore you. Take our hearts, O God. Take our minds. Lord, that all the different directions that our heart and our minds want to go, that you would tame them with your Holy Spirit, that we could have a single eye, a single heart, a single focus right now, and it would be on you and your word. Christ, we do all adore you, and we do praise you this morning and forever and ever. Teach us now, O Lord, from your word. Draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We want to welcome all the visitors that are here. And once again, it's a special morning for our family as we look forward to dedicating yet another grandchild, and that brings Josh is here, and this morning it's even better than last week because Angie's here, and so we're just blessed. And we want to welcome them, and we want to welcome all the other visitors this morning. I guess us preachers are always looking for some inspiration, some direction, you know, what to preach. And Josh, I'm going to go ahead and tell on him, and Sheldon Graber were having breakfast together the other morning, and we were talking about a lot of different things, but Josh just said, if I ever preach a message, and I like to ask different men, if you were to preach a message, what would it be? But Josh said, if I were to preach a message, and he went on to share what it is, and it struck a chord in my heart, and I asked him, what text would you use? And he told me, and then I just felt like the next time I preach, I'm going to share that message. And little did I know that Josh would be here the next time I preach. So I texted him the other day. I said, I almost have to apologize. It looks like I'm going to preach your message. And he said, well, just expect a lot of amens. So I'll be expecting that from my son. Anyway, I don't know how he would have titled it, but God laid the title on my heart. And I'll put that on the screen here in a minute. But the first thing we want to talk about is, we're going to talk about three different things. And the first thing we want to talk about is grace. The word grace. Did you guys want to make sure we got a connection? The word grace. I think just in the last 20 years, I don't know, it could be more than that. I didn't do a study, but there's been probably a countless number of books written about grace. And new churches crop up, and it might be grace this or grace that, and we like grace. there's an abuse of the word grace. We want to talk about that this morning. Many Christians talk about grace and they say that we're under grace, we're not under the law. How many of you have heard that? Yeah, we've heard that a lot. We're under grace, we're not under the law. And that's true. That's true. What we want to talk about this morning is abuses of truth. And that is true. We are under grace. We're not under the law, especially if we're talking about Old Testament law. We're not under that anymore. They go on to say that churches like ours and like so many churches in our area that have rules, that's legalism. That's legalism. You're in bondage. We're under grace. And we see many people leaving biblical principle. And young people, this message is, this is Youth Sunday. For those of you that are visiting, we have a Sunday occasionally we call Youth Sunday, and we try to focus it on the youth. This message is for all of us, but I have you youth in mind. I want you to know that. Young people, wherever you're at in this room, I have this. And young married people, I have this message. I have you in mind. Because you see Christians leaving biblical principle, leaving the application, the living out of biblical principle. You see them doing that. And then they claim to be so free. Freedom. They claim to be so free. They say that they didn't realize they were under such bondage. And sometimes we hear them talking more about Jesus than they ever did before. What do we do with that, young people? I think you know what I'm talking about. What do we do with that? Are we wrong? Are we missing it? And along with that, we hear a lot about loving Jesus. And you hear phrases like, all you got to do is love Jesus. All you got to do is love Jesus. How many have heard that phrase? All you got to do is love Jesus. And that's true. But there's an abuse of that truth. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about abuses of these truths. We are free. We do have a freedom. We do have a freedom. We are living under grace. And all you have to do is love Jesus. But those truths have been abused. And that's what we'd like to talk about this morning. Because these abuses of truth affect the way you and I think, whether we realize it or not. And as we live out biblical principle, as we hear and those around us live out biblical principle, we almost think it's like an add-on thing, because these abuses of these truths have caused us to think, well, you can be a Christian without, we're kind of an add-on thing. I hope by the time we're done with this message, you will say no. Abuses of truth, and it's affected the way we think. And young people, I know that you are wrestling. I talk with enough of you. You are wrestling with, what is truth? You're making important decisions. What is righteousness? What is right living? And I want this message to be an encouragement to you, and maybe shine some light in some areas that you've been wondering about. Where can we go to find truth? Feel free to answer. The Bible. I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this book, this Bible, your Bible, my Bible, I believe, with beyond a shadow of a doubt, with all my heart, that this is the inspired, inerrant, without error, Word of God. I believe that with all my heart. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
This is where we can find truth. Don't even find it. Don't even find it in what I say. Don't even find it in what any other preacher says until you check what I say with this book. That's why I like to put a lot of Bible verses up when I preach, because that's where truth is. Right here. Young people, this is where you can go to find truth. Forget the blogs. Forget the podcasts. It's okay to listen to those, okay? I'm not saying don't. But I am saying, until you've checked it out here, okay? Until you've checked it out here. Because there's a lot of abuse of truth, and this morning we want to talk about three abuses of truth. The first one, grace. Let's talk about that for a little bit. We are under grace. We're not under the law. That's true. But I'm going to say that probably one reason grace is abused today, there's more than one reason, but one reason is because we don't understand what grace is. We don't understand what grace is. And we've taken the popular definition of grace, and we've bought into it. The Bible says this. Grace is a word, not the Bible, but the Greek definition. I'm sorry. In the Bible, it comes from a Greek word, charis. And this is the definition of charis. If you spoke Greek and you heard charis, this is what you would understand it to mean. It's especially the divine influence upon your heart and its reflection in the life. It's a divine influence. We think the popular abuse of grace is that it's mercy. And grace is not mercy. Grace is God's influence, His power, His influence is the word that's used upon your heart. To what? What's He influencing your heart? He's influencing your heart to be a reflection in life, a reflection of what? God Himself, Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus was. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Grace is divine influence on your heart and mind to live, to do what's right, to live in such a way that we reflect the Father. But we have people saying, when they make that statement, we're under grace, we're not under the law, what they're saying is, I can do whatever I want to do. I'm not under the law. And we'll get to that on the next abuse of truth. We have bought into this definition of grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. You've heard that, and I have too, and maybe you've said it. Grace is not God's unmerited favor. Grace is God's influence upon your heart. Mercy is God's unmerited favor. That's mercy. We get grace and mercy mixed up. And because we do, we think that I can just live however I want to because I'm under grace. I'm not under the law. Grace is God's influence upon your heart. Mercy is God's unmerited favor. Let's quickly just look at a few verses to make this point. And we could do this with verse after verse. What is the Greek definition of grace? Can you tell me? Divine influence. That would be God, since it's divine. Divine influence upon the heart. Can you say that? Keep that in mind. Let's just quickly look at three verses. James 4, verse 6. Can we just read that together? It's not. I did not quote these verses. I just summarized them, okay? But let's read what James 4, 6 says. God, if grace is God's unmerited favor, you did not do anything to earn it, then why does he only give it to the humble? It's as if they earned it. It seems like if grace is God's unmerited favor, the proud need it more than the humble. The proud don't deserve it any less than the humble if grace is God's unmerited favor. But now, if grace is divine influence upon the heart, that makes sense. God resists the proud, but he divinely influences the heart of the humble. Amen. Now that verse makes sense. What about another? Let's go to another verse. Galatians 5:4 says that we can, you read it, fall from grace. If grace is unmerited favor, what can I do to fall from it? If I got something that I didn't merit anyway, why would it be taken from me? Are you with me? That doesn't make sense. But now, if grace is God's divine influence upon my heart, I can fall from that. I can turn my back on that. In the context of Galatians 5:4, you'll find that it's talking about legalism. And it says that when I start thinking that my works earn me merit with God, that I'm saved by my works, that's the context. I've fallen from grace. You see, I've quit recognizing that it's God's power within me that lets me do the right thing. I start thinking I'm doing the right thing. And I've turned my back on that divine influence on the heart. Grace is not God's unmerited favor. That's mercy. Grace. Let's look at one other verse. I should really spend a whole message just driving this point home, because it has so impacted modern Christianity that we're under grace, we're not under the law, because we think that grace is unmerited favor. I can do whatever I want to do. Well, then it seems to me the proud would get more grace. One more. I'd love to do more, but we're only going to do this one. Luke 2:40 says that God's grace was upon Jesus. I almost think it's blasphemy to think that Jesus received unmerited favor from God. That Jesus didn't deserve God's favor. That's almost blasphemy, folks. Grace is not God's unmerited favor. Grace is God's divine influence upon the heart. And Jesus had God's divine influence upon the heart so that he could be a reflection of the Father. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because he was the perfect reflection of the Father. Because grace was upon him. He was full of grace and truth. Grace is not unmerited favor. That's almost blasphemy to suggest that Jesus did not merit favor with God, but God gave him favor unmerited. Please, brothers and sisters, let's not fall to the abuses of truth that are thick around us about this thing called grace, because there's no stopping point. There's no stopping point. And so what happens is people buy into that. Well, we don't have to do this or that or the other because we have freedom. We have Christian liberty. And that's true. Your Bible tells us that if we believe the truth will set us free, and we shall be free indeed. I thank God for the freedom that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Freedom. But they abuse that. They've left off obedience to this word. They've left off living it out because they're under grace, and that's legalism. As soon as you start saying you need to do this or you need to do that, let's look at 1 Peter 2, 16 and 17. Looks like my slide is just at the edge. Can we read that together? I think you can catch the first letter. Ready? This is taken from the NIV. Ready? Live. That's in 1 Peter 2, 16 and 17. I want to break that into the middle there. But do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. And we see that happening. We see it happening, and there's no end to it. Galatians 5:13 says something very similar. It says that we're not to use our Christian liberty to indulge the flesh. But we see it happening. How do we see that happening? How do we see it happening? Take modesty. The Bible is very clear. From the fall in the garden, when Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves up with leaves, it didn't do the job. And people who say that God is not worried about the way you dress, he killed animals and made their first clothes and covered them. That happened in the garden. And then throughout the Bible, we see God's standard for modest dress, both men and women. But we have people who say, we're under grace. We're not under the law. That's legalism. I have freedom. And we have Christians who have been among us, and maybe still are among us, that will go to the beaches, go to the swimming pools, get half naked. Because I don't know why, because I can't straighten that one out. Except that this modesty just must be an add-on in my Christian life. Must just be an add-on. And so we've been influenced by people who've thrown all kinds of modesty, thrown it away, and they talk more about Jesus today than ever before. You have it in your families. I have it in our extended family. And they're Christians. We're not to judge them. But young people, know the truth. You have it in your laps, in your Bibles. And it doesn't make any difference what other Christians might be saying or doing. God has a level of standard. And in his freedom, he pours out his divine influence on your hearts so that you can do the right thing when everyone else around you is doing the wrong thing. Don't resist that grace and give in to the peer pressure or give in to the abuse of truth. So we say we're free. We have liberty. That's legalism, to think we have to dress modestly. We use liberty. And let me say this. Whenever we use liberty, Christian liberty, as an excuse to indulge the flesh, we are not serving Christ. All right, let's get that straight. You're serving the flesh. Oh, you're being very spiritual about it. We would be very spiritual. Well, I'm the Christian liberty. I'm under grace, not under law. Another area where this is taking place among young people, and I think all of you know it. Is when you go out to eat and you order a drink. And I'm connected enough with Mennonite young people to know that that's happening in a lot of communities. And you justify it by saying that it's only a drink or two. It's not like I'm getting drunk. Whatever happened to grace? The divine influence that God puts upon your heart so that you can be a reflection of Him. Does that fit in there as you sit at the restaurant and sip on your wine or whatever you might have ordered? I'm just asking the question. You see, thinking that we're under grace, the abuse of truth that is out there has affected our thinking. So that we think that obedience to the Word of God is real obedience. The obedience that you and I have been taught to the Word of God is an add-on thing. It's just an extra, a Christian extra. You really don't have to do it. I can go ahead and drink. I can go ahead and go to the beach. You've been influenced by abuses of truth. God wants young people that have enough courage to be a reflection of Him. I'll say that again in case you didn't get it. God wants young people to be a reflection of Him. He wants you to have enough courage that when you're sitting at the table among the Christians, that you draw upon His grace, His divine influence, to be a reflection of Him. He wants that, young people, and He's pouring His grace into your heart. You don't have to give in to these things. And the same abuse happens, and again, I want to say, whenever we use liberty as an excuse to indulge the flesh and have that drink, you are not being a servant of Jesus Christ. You're serving the flesh. Another area we won't talk much about it is the music you listen to, the videos you watch. God's grace is being poured into your heart to give you the power, the influence. You don't have to go to those places and listen to that wrong music. He wants you to be a reflection of Him. And notice one thing, there's a couple of things we want to notice, but notice the last part here. It says, show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. A lot of times, I've seen it and you've seen it too. These people who leave off of the Bible, they're under grace, they're not under the law, they've got Christian liberty and they do whatever they want to do, will often come back and flaunt their liberty in your face. And that's in direct disobedience show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers. Okay, but I guess they're under liberty. They don't need to obey that either. You see, once we buy into this thing that I'm under liberty, freedom, I don't have to do this, that, the gate's wide open. Where will you stop? There's no stopping point. I'd like to look at a contradiction here as we're talking about freedom. Look at this. It's a contradiction. Did you catch it? Live as free people. Live as God's slaves. Hold it. Live as free people. Live as God's slaves. You can look it up. This is in the NIV. You can look it up in the King James. It basically says the same thing. To explain this contradiction, let's look at Romans chapter 6. Can we read this together? Are you ready? For sin shall not have... There it is. Look at that. This is talking about liberty. It's talking about freedom. It's talking about grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we just have this Christian liberty and do whatever we want to do, ignoring the word of God? What then? Shall we sin? Shall we do whatever we want? Because we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. You read the next two words. God forbid. You're going the wrong direction. God forbid. Don't you know, whenever Paul says that, whenever the Bible says that, and the Bible says it in different places, I get the picture of a parent with a child. All right, the child just touched that hot stove, you know. And the parent says, don't you know that stove's hot? Don't you know? It's like, come on, don't you know 2 + 2 = 4? Verse 16, don't you know that to whom you give yourselves servants to obey, that's your master. Whether, he goes on to say, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Well, then you might say, well, I'm not serving anyone. I want to be who I want to be. Okay, who are you serving? You're serving self. You're serving self. You see, we will serve someone or something. He says, you were the servants of sin. And we were the servants of sin. He says in verse 17, God be thanked that you were the servants of sins, but, hallelujah, I'm glad for that word. It's true for me. Is it true for you? That ye have obeyed from the heart. That divine influence from God came into your heart. And you obeyed it. I think that's significant that he says, you have obeyed. He's talking about grace, and he's talking about freedom. And he says, you have obeyed from the heart. Where's God's divine influence come into? It comes into your heart. That you might be a reflection. So you drew upon God's grace. You obeyed from the heart. That form of doctrine, boy, that sounds like legalism. Huh? That form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became slaves of right living? Are you a slave of living right? Young people, are you a slave of living right? God's grace is there for you. I'm not talking, His mercy is for when we mess up. His grace is there for you to do right, to be a reflection of God Himself. Divine influence on your heart poured out to do what's right. And you become a slave. That's freedom. This is talking about freedom. It's the verse we had before. I'm going to back up. Live as free people. Live as God's slaves. It's not a contradiction. Freedom, true freedom, is found when we serve God. I am here to testify to that. I've been on both sides. True freedom, and you have too. True freedom. True freedom. Hallelujah. Is when we live according to God's word. It's when we live as slaves to God. Being made free from sin. So how do we explain? Those who say, I'm not under the law, I'm under grace, I have more freedom, and they're talking more about Jesus than they ever talked before. What do we have to say about that? That leads us to the third abuse of truth. All you have to do is love Jesus. All you have to do is love Jesus. It's a true statement. This is truth. All you have to do is love Jesus. That is true. But it's spoken, it's always spoken in a wrong context. In a wrong context. Well, I know that he goes out and he drinks and he does this, but he says he loves Jesus. That's supposed to make everything okay. What does it mean to love Jesus? What does it mean to love Jesus? Do you think that in this book of truth, do you think we could find the answer of what does it mean to love Jesus? Do you think we could find the truth? Yes, I know we can. I'm just going to pull a few of them out. Let's read these verses. All you have to do is love Jesus, okay? What does loving Jesus look like? Are you ready? Let's read them together. If you love me, wow. All you have to do is love Jesus. If you love Jesus, Jesus said himself, if you love me, you will what? Whoa, that sounds like legalism. That sounds like legalism. Well, you have a choice. You can either believe the abuse of truth that's out there, or you can believe the Word of God. I choose to believe the Word of God. And the Word of God tells me that if I love Him, I'm going to keep His commandments. I'm going to be a slave to Him. I'm going to serve Him. If He says it, I'm going to do it. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. If a man love me, or a woman, he will keep my words. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. And right there is the answer to those people who say, oh, well, I didn't realize what kind of bondage I was under. Oh, you guys, you're under bondage. Oh, now that I'm free of that, I look back, I see how much bondage I was under. You know what? That tells me that if I love Him, I'll keep His commandments, and they will not be grievous.
They're not going to be bondage. They're not going to be hard. Look that up in the Greek. It means weighty, heavy. If I love God and He says, I want you to be modest, that's not going to be a heavy thing for me to do. If I love God and He says, I want you to abstain from all appearance of evil at the restaurant, that's not going to be heavy because I love God. But if I want to drink at the restaurant and I can't because my church says so, that command's grievous. That's heavy on me. I want to do it, but I can't. What does that point to? That points, the problem is not legalism. The problem is my love for Jesus. Because if I loved, I like to make it like this. Young man and a young woman, they're dating, right? They're in love. I didn't say that right. Young man, young woman, they're dating. They're in love. Nobody ever loved like we love each other. We will get married. We will never have any problem because we really love each other. All the married men are grinning. They've been there. Yeah. So this young man who is so in love, it's a blizzard condition. It is so, the wind's blowing. It is blizzard. The snow's getting deep. And he decides, he's gonna, you know what? If he's going to get snowed in, he wants to get snowed in at his girlfriend's house. So he's going to head that way. So he does. 30-minute drive, he's on his way, he gets about 2 miles out, and he can't go any further. So he gets out of the car, he locks the car, and he bundles himself up, and the wind is blowing, and the snow's going straight, you know, the wind's that hard. And he's trudging through deep snow, 2 miles! He goes. He gets there. Believe me, he's going to get there. Because he loves her. He gets there. And he knocks on the door. And she comes to the door. Oh, Johnny, come in. Oh, you shouldn't have done it. And he says, it was nothing. It was nothing. Why does he say it's nothing? Because he loves her. Now, if his job was just a quarter mile down the road and the snow was that bad and the blizzard was that bad, do you think he's going to bundle up and walk to work? No, he'll call. I can't make it to work. But he can walk through deep snow, blizzard conditions, get to his girlfriend's door and tell her it was nothing. Why? Because he loves her. And that's the picture that that verse gives us. Young people, older people, if you find doing the Word of God, if you find obedience to this truth heavy, bondage, I'm going to stand on the Word and say, you don't love Jesus. I don't want to judge you. Because you can turn your heart and you can start loving Jesus. But I'll stand on the Word. If what the Word is asking you to do is heavy, according to that scripture, you don't love Jesus. Okay? Don't claim liberty. Don't claim freedom. Don't claim legalism. This is truth. This is truth. This has biblical principles, and they need to be lived out. They need to be applied. Do you have to apply it just the way Sandy Ridge Mennonite Church applies? Absolutely not. But they need to be applied biblically. abuses of truth. Just to quickly summarize, grace, freedom, and loving Jesus. God's divine influence upon my heart and its reflection in my life as a servant, slave of right living. Freedom, being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. And loving Jesus, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not going to be heavy because we love Him.